I'm going to, these poems are related to a Pittsburgher who's gotten more than his 15 minutes of fame, Andy Warhol. And the first one is about one of his classmates, Imelda Tuttle, who I happened to work with 20 or 30 years later. They both graduated from Carnegie Tech, as it was called then, in 1949. Me and Imelda Tuttle. When she tells Andy Warhol she lives in McKeesport, he loves the name and boasts to Carnegie Tech friends that he lives there too, not in a slim yellow brick row house for Slovak immigrants in South Oakland. After graduation, she visits him in New York. He shows her his first soup cans. "What are you doing?" she shrieks in horror. "Don't worry, Mel, this will work. You just watch." Before long, his Manhattan studio blooms with celebrity faces. Marilyn, Jackie, Dolly Parton start with photos, just like the art he stuck up on the walls of his childhood sick room. Hollywood stars clipped from newspapers, movie magazines, down on Dawson Street near Culture Central. She, this is Imelda, has a good heart and two fuzzy dogs. Their kinky hair looks like her kinky hair. She brings pumpkin pie to the faculty at Pittsburgh's first community college. Some don't notice the crinkled light watsits suspended, squiggling in the baked pumpkin. Some do and declare it shaved coconut. A few know there are only three suspects. Me and Imelda teach English. Today, we'll talk about the coward, passive voice. Students scrawl an example on the wall. Annie Oakley is fucked. The subject does not perform the action found in the verb. She, with no eye for that pie, couldn't hide a first step toward her final dementia. Have you heard of Andy Warhol's piss paintings?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is about the piss paintings. And it has an epigraph from Vanity Fair. In all his best art, Warhol celebrates meaning on many levels. Andy Warhol's piss paintings. It happened in a foreign country. He forgot his brushes. The show would open in a week. 20 bare canvases stared at the tired, aging artist. 4 receptions, a formal dinner, private chats with half a dozen very rich, very insistent women would eat away his thinking time. Taking his peanut butter knife, he plopped the copper paint like mashed potatoes on each square. He found the sudden surge of work so thrilling he had to pee. And the stroke of genius. The heavens opened along with his fly and showered Andy's answer to a simple time constraint across each canvas. Metallic green floats above a soft sunset orange. Two worlds in tension. Critics rave. Curators all agog, flush with excitement. Now, this one is a result of, I worked at Carnegie Mellon as editor of Carnegie Mellon magazine, and at one point, an alum arranged for a group of art majors to go up and visit Andy at the factory, and I had a photographer who had been dying to take photographs of Andy Warhol most of his life, so he said, "Let's go," so we went, and the most surprising thing to me about the whole visit was that Andy Warhol was extremely shy and capable of blushing. Me and Andy Warhol, this is called. I didn't want to interview him, a creepy old guy hanging with weirdos. The twisted photographer insisted. Off we went with some purist art pupils to the factory and this blushing success. We check out his workout spot with girly weights. Watch him react to the scorn of students. conduct a brief interview on the way out the door as he constructs a wall with monosyllabic yeses and noes to hide the person he is, was, will be, an enigma all the way to the grave on a cold Castle Shannon hillside, littered with soup cans and Brillo boxes. And one last one. This is about his brother, who became an artist, I think, after Andy died. And one of his characteristic of his work was that he used chicken feet. And he said that it started, he kept a pen of about 20 chickens. And he said at one point they got into his paint and were walking around and he was just stunned by what they did. I don't know if these are related to Jimmy's chickens or not. At any rate, the brother came to visit me once at my office at Carnegie Mellon. Me and Paul Warhola. He crawled up to my garret where squirrels and bats lighted along with bees and sunshine. A big, gruff scrap dealer guy, oldest brother of Andy, who had dropped his final A. I worked for his brother's school. He presented me with his absolute Warhola ad. He signed it with a last A that stood alone. Took 5 breaks in his name, took none in mine. Creative, big ego caps. His signature chicken feet compete with lines of vodka. A photograph duped 3 times. 6 brothers look out at me. Andy stands like taller Paul, but tilts his head to the right. Paul says he didn't just die. An unknown they murdered him. I forget the dire motive. An editor, I didn't know what to do with that news. Dig it up later, bury it in a poem. Thank you. Thank you. Our next reader is Nancy Esther James.